Good afternoon and welcome to the Florida Building Commission Accessibility Advisory Council meeting. It's Friday, November 22nd, 2019, 2 p.m. I'm Chip Sellers, and in the room with me I have
Ramon Madani,
Justin Vogel,
Chris Howell,
Jim Hammers.
First, I'd like to take a roll call on the members. Joe Delvecchio.
Here, sure.
Jim Woolihan.
Here.
Beth Meyer. Paul Martell. Louise Darlene Lobel Crow.
That's me. I'm here.
All right. Paul Edwards Vixney.
Here.
And Allison Klein.
Here.
All right. Well, we do have a quorum. Joe, would you like to run the meeting or would you like me to run it for you?
You've done such a spectacular job the last 2 times. You're a real keeper, Chip. So go ahead.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. All right.
Hi, I'm Steve Hovland. Good afternoon. This is Steve Hovland. I didn't want to be eavesdropping without mentioning my name.
All right. We'll get to applicants on the line in just a second. First, I'd like to approve the agenda as posted. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Paul Dixon.
This is Darlene.
We approve the agenda.
Dixon, darling.
And this is Darlene. I second it.
All righty. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. That passes. Next, we'd like to approve the minutes for Friday, October 4th, 2019. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Joe Delvecchio, I make a motion that we approve the minutes as said.
Okay.
Paul Vixley, I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? All right, that passes. Next, we'll have Mo Madani go over the commission actions on the October 2019 waiver applications.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani. As you see there on the agenda, we posted the commission action on October 2019 waiver applications. The commission actions on this application was consistent with your action at this point. So there is that's the report. Thank you.
All right. First, we will start with 106 South Monroe, LLC, waiver number 427. Is anyone on the line from 106 South Monroe, LLC?
Yes, this is Robert Russo. I'm the manager of the LLC. And with me is Glenn Coxwell, who's the contractor on the project. All
right. Thank you for joining us, Robert and Glenn. I'll go ahead and do the analysis for this waiver, and then I'll give you a chance to make any comments afterwards. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project progress is in plan review. The compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $32,800. The project construction cost and construction over the past 3 years is $63,462.73, which comes up to an economic hardship threshold of 51%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story office with 5,404 square feet. The alteration will consist of interior framing, electrical, plumbing, new finishes, and fixtures. The project cost is $63,462.73 for the alteration. Estimates of $32,800 and $34,000 for a lift with associated costs were submitted. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship. Would y'all like to add anything to what I just said?
No, this is Robert. No, I think that sums up our application.
All right. Council, any questions or motion or?
This is Darlene. I make a motion to accept the waiver on the basis of economic hardship.
All right. Do we have
Paul Vixney?
We'll go with Paul Vixney for the second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those against? All righty. Well, the waiver is approved. Just to let you know, the next step is the waiver will go before the Florida Building Commission on December 10th. And then after that, if the commission approves the waivers, the final orders will be drafted and sent out a few weeks after that.
Okay, great. Thanks for your consideration.
Sure. Thank you. All right, next we have Bar 1903, waiver 425. Do we have anybody on the line from Bar 1903?
Yes, this is Barry Wilson, the architect on the project.
Okay. All right, Barry. Well, I'm going to read the analysis, and then I'll give you a chance to speak after that. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Oh, excuse me. That's the wrong waiver. The issue is vertical accessibility to the entrance and mezzanine. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project progress is under design. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing a vertical accessibility to the entrance and mezzanine of a historic library built in 1903 with 1,087 square feet with about a 6-foot wide walk around mezzanine above the main area. The project consists of adding restrooms, bar equipment, rough ends, and some life safety additions. The project cost is $7,675 for the alteration. The applicant stated that the building is accessed only by stairs and does not have any adjacent land to construct any type of a ramp or lift or wheelchair access. The mezzanine area is employee only. The two new toilets constructed on the main level with the main space being accessible. The hardship is caused by a condition or a set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owner. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of historical significance. Barry, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I think that probably covers it.
Okay. All right, sir. Council, do you have any questions or motion? Council, it's back to y'all. If you would like to make a motion, that would be great.
Okay. This is Darlene. I make a motion to accept the waiver on the basis of historical significance.
All right. Thank you, Darlene. Do we have
this is Allison Klein. I second that.
All right. Thank you, Allison. All those in favor?
Discussion.
Oh, well, I
did
try to offer them to the discussion. Those opposed? All righty, Bar 1903 passes on historical significance.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Next up, we have 808 Wiggins Pass, waiver 410. Do we have anybody on the line from 808 Wiggins Pass?
Yes, sir. This is Steve Hovland, managing member of 808 Wiggins Pass Road, LLC, and with me is our engineer, Kevin McVicker.
All right, sir. Well, I will read the analysis, and then I'll give you a chance to speak after that, sir. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is new construction. Project progress completed. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story building with mixed occupancy mercantile and business and floor area of 7,246 square feet. The applicant stated that he was told by the Collier County Building Department that an elevator was not required. The plans for the building were approved without the elevator. The building was built according to the plans and have had all the life safety and all the other building inspections completed satisfactorily. After the building construction has been completed, the applicant has been informed by Collier County Building Department that an elevator needs to be provided, or he may request a waiver from the state of Florida. The project cost is $1,208,027.52 for the construction. Estimates of $187,570 and $184,655 for an elevator with associated costs were submitted. Building official comment. The building in question is only two stories and the second floor has less than 3,000 square feet in area. Therefore, as the acting building official for Collier County, I concur with the design professional and support the state of Florida approving a waiver for the elevator requirements of the Florida Building Code, accessibility section 206.2.3 in the specific case with the following noted stipulations. This no objection statement has the following stipulations. One, only applies to the current configuration of the second floor being used by one tenant. Two, any proposed change to said configuration will require the installation of an elevator. And three, the designated shaft for said elevator may not be repurposed into anything else. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility based on the fact that the project in question is new construction. All right. Applicant, would you like to make any comments on this?
No, Kevin, do you have any?
I would just state that it is new construction, but the building was constructed with a permit that was approved by the county, so it's not really new construction at this point.
Yes, sir.
If we have to add an elevator, it's going to be a whole new construction process.
Okay. Kelsey?
Technically, it's not new construction. The building's built.
Sure. Council, do you have any discussion?
This is Allison Klein. I'm just wondering, when was this construction completed?
It was completed
earlier.
Go ahead, Steve.
We've had a temporary certificate of occupancy for about 4 months pending this hearing.
So this is Mom and Donnie. So the building was never really actually completely CO'd. So it's still, you know, in the issue of the fact that it needs to satisfy the further accessibility code requirement for vertical accessibility. And that's really where the issue stands. Am I correct?
The building is completed.
The building is complete, and my business occupies the second floor. My wife, myself, and my people, we've been in the real estate business in that neighborhood since the late 60s, my family and I. And had we known that we were going to be required an elevator, we could have funded it, but now, you know, the bank loan was long since gone, and there's a letter from the licensed building official in the file, and I think when we look at that, we can say, you know, they had approved the plan in as built, and now we're occupying it, and we're just hoping that because of what we were told that we would get the waiver.
Excuse me, this here is Joe DelVecchio. Are you saying that you're occupying the building without a CO for it?
No, we were given a CO. What Jonathan Walsh said to us was, we've got no problem with this. As long as the state says it's okay. But they didn't tell us that until the building was completed. So we built it. We spent all the money. And this is our home office space upstairs. The tenants are downstairs. It's just my wife and I and our people upstairs. And he gave us a certificate of occupancy to use it, subject to this hearing. And if this is agreeable to the state, then we're going to get a permanent certificate of occupancy. Collier County made it a rule that they would not grant elevator waivers without your office.
They
but
can.
They didn't do it until after we were done with the building.
The
county can't provide a waiver. It only can be obtained through the state of Florida.
Yeah, and our dilemma was simply that, well, when we designed it in the way that we were told we allowed and qualified it to not have an elevator. Because of its size, the elevator winds up being, an expensive proposition for our own personal space. And so we proceeded based on those approved plans. And now we just don't know what to do. I don't know where I'd get the money if I had to put an elevator in. I don't know where I'd get the money.
Let me also bring to your attention that when we say vertical accessibility, we don't mean only elevators. You can have a Lula, limited use equipment, or you can have a lift or a cheerwell lift. So. So it's really, there's other options. It could, allowed under the Florida Accessibility Code. So you're not only tied to providing an elevator.
Also, is the elevator shaft already there?
There's an elevator shaft there.
So there was the designer. It seems that the architect, whoever designed the building, he designed it based on the fact that that elevator will be provided.
Well, we thought that if ever we didn't use the premises ourselves anymore as owners, that it might necessitate, a different tenant might require an elevator, and at which time we could go back and refinance the building or whatever, but this building is basically ruined us. It took us 2 years to build it. The permitting was lengthy. We had nothing but troubles with the hurricane. I mean, the thing has been the biggest nightmare we've ever been involved in. And so there's just a whole lot of reasons why we got here. I don't know where I'm going to do. About getting any more money, and in such a.
This is Darlene. I have a question. I noticed you said that in the future that you could possibly refinance it. I know that you said that it would be used by the business and the owner, the wife, and this and that. It can happen that one of you will need a elevator in the future. You never know if something's going to happen in the future. But if you're, from what you just said, you are thinking of the option that in the future possibly adding an elevator, right?
Yeah, if I could afford the elevator, I would have, when this whole thing came up, when the building was completed, I would have built the elevator. The problem is, I don't have the money, and I can't refinance this building because it's already to its value as far as the bank's concerned, and I just don't have the money. So if there was a change of use, I would never enter into a lease. Well, number one, we built it for our own use, but if at some point in the future a lease was achieved, if I was to, move out or retire, I could go then and rework the thing and maybe get a new loan, but that's just not an option right now.
Okay. Hi. Is it okay to make a motion now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. This is Darlene. I make motions to accept the waiver on the basis of new construction.
No, no, this is we have to, first of all, you have to either accept or deny the waiver, but you need to specify the basis for it. Is it, you know, the I think there is technical infeasibility, there's economic hardship, there is historic significance, but I think the issue here is that this is a new construction, and normally with regard to economic hardship, we arrive at it through the disproportionate cost, where we can take the alteration cost and the cost of compliance and come up with a percentage, and if that percentage exceeded 20%, then it'll become hardship. That's for alteration. This is a new construction. So what is really the basis for issuing the waiver or accepting or approving or granting the waiver? So I also, Justin, you want to say something?
Well, I could chime in. So Ms. Leibel-Crowe, it's I think what Mr. Madani is trying to say is that it's very rare for waivers to be granted in the cases of new construction, and the typical justifying factors that the Accessibility Advisory Council and the Commission would rely on aren't the ones that you would be looking to here. So you can grant a waiver in the case of new construction, but it would have to be based on a finding that it was either unnecessary, unreasonable, or imposing an extreme hardship. It also would not be a violation of the ADA. So if you feel that in this case that is the case, that either it's unnecessary in this case, it's unreasonable, or it's causing an extreme hardship, then one of those might be what you would rely on. But what Mr. Madani is trying to say is that you'd have to go kind of outside of what you would normally be looking at, and this is a very unusual type of request and situation.
Thank you, Darlene. Chip, can you read your staff recommendation again?
Yes, ma'am. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility based on the fact that the project in question is new construction.
This year is Joe DeVecchio. It's unfortunate that the applicant was given inaccurate information in the first place. We have suggested a few ways in which he can mitigate his expenses, but I have to move. Is there a motion on the floor? I'm sorry.
Yes, this is Darlene. I had made a motion to accept the waiver on the basis of new construction as the staff recommended.
Well, the staff recommendation was to deny it.
It's not a recommendation that we accept the waiver or approve the waiver. I thank you, Chip. I can't second this motion, and I'm going to vote against it if it goes to vote. We need a second before we can move to a discussion, and then we can amend your motion.
Is there a second to the motion? It sounds like the motion dies for lack of a second, so it's back to the council.
Okay, this here is Joe DeVecchio. I move that we deny the waiver on the basis that the project is of new construction. And we have identified alternative methods to make the second level accessible.
This is Allison Klein. I second that.
All those in favor?
Is there any discussion?
Well, I thought. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Is there any more discussion?
This is the architect. Are we still allowed to speak, or is this, are we
through the chair.
Not?
That would be through the if the chair wishes to hear your input. Mr. DiVecchio, would you like to allow the petitioner to comment?
Yes. This is Darlene. I wanted to ask, was there any economic hardship at all considered?
No.
The usual economic hardship analysis only pertains to an alteration of an existing facility. So while costs of compliance were provided in this case, the typical like 20% analysis that you see from staff wouldn't apply because this is an alteration. And this is Justin Vogel speaking, by the way. I believe the petitioner wanted to address the council.
Yes, this is Greg Gertler. I'm the architect on the job. This is basically just a question with regards to the ADA and the 2010 ADA Standards of Accessible Design, 28 CFR 36.401, new construction, parentheses D, elevator exemption, parentheses 2, this section does not require the installation of an elevator in a facility that is three stories or less than 3,000 square feet per story. And 3, the elevator exemption does not limit the obligation to comply with other accessible requirements, which the building does. This project has only two stories, less than 3, which is allowed, and less than 3,000 square feet on the second floor, thus meeting the requirements outlined above for the elevator exemption allowance that the Florida Building Code 5th edition acknowledges the ADA. And it's just a question for future projects that are less than 3,000 square feet and vertical accessibilities can make or break the project.
For the future, I think the issue here is really for the specific requirements that go above the ADA requirement that you have spoken of. The Florida statute and the Florida Accessibility Code says vertical accessibility shall be provided to all levels. And, we're aware of what's in the ADA 2010, but this we're dealing here with Florida specific requirement that is more stringent than the ADA requirements.
Well, but it's acknowledged in the Florida Building Code in the front end that the Florida Building Code accepts. It's been a while since I've been through this, but the 2004 ADAG
We do with amendments.
In other words, Florida will accept the federal standards.
We do. Actually, 99% of the Florida Accessibility Code is the 2010 ADA as amended by the Florida legislatures. That is, these requirements are legislative in terms of the vertical accessibility, and there's a few requirements. Those are Florida-specific requirements that we're speaking of that goes above beyond the ADA.
Yeah, and then they go to the 2010 ADA Standards for Accessible Design, the 28 CFR, and that's a part of the Florida Building Code in the front end, and then the Florida or the elevator exemption falls within that, and that's how my interpretation of that in the code is that you can seek a waiver of the requirement.
I know, but if you go to Florida, if you go to the Florida Accessibility Code and go to the sections that deals with vertical accessibility, especially the section 206.2.3, multi-story building and facilities, you see that we take all the the exceptions listed under that section, and we put in Florida a statute requirement that vertical accessibility to a level. So we're, you know, I think if you look at the Florida Accessibility Code, you will see that what's in the 2010 ADA with regard to Section 206.2.3 has been amended to bring in Florida-specific requirements for vertical accessibility, which is all level.
In my code under, you know, Chapter 1, Application and Administration, under Advisory 101.1 General, after the first paragraph, it says the Department of Justice Justice Regulations 28 CFR Part 35 and 28 CFR Part 36, Department of Transportation 49 CFR Part 37, and the requirements of the Florida Law Part 2, Chapter 553.FS, have been incorporated into this code.
That's true, with amendments. As amended by Florida statute, I think that there's, if you continue to read, there's a reference to Florida statute 553 and the Florida specific requirements and all that. So, but I think really that's a different subject of discussion. But at this point, I think the issue here is a you
well,
have
it's
to
not
really
new
still meet.
Point. I hate to butt in, but at this point, we were granted the permit based on this information, that this waiver information here, because and now we're at the completion of the job, we're being told that we have to provide an elevator, and there are no funds, and I guess because it doesn't have the permanent CO, it's not considered an existing building. But there are financial hardships, extreme at this time. But thank you for listening and for helping me with regards to that interpretation. But on behalf of my client, I think they should be granted the waiver.
Thank you, sir.
And because in the future, if you look at the stipulation under the building official's comments, it basically says, as was mentioned in your recourse there, that there, you know, should this change or that change or whatever, that then at that time, then an elevator would be required.
All right, back to the council. Is there any further discussion on the waiver petition?
Yeah.
Chip on call.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, the motion passes to deny the waiver request.
Hi, this is Kevin McVicker. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You said a stair lift be appropriate?
Yes, in terms of the Florida Accessibility Code, vertical accessibility, we are not, vertical accessibility can be accomplished by using a lift, by using a Lula, by using a share lift, as long as this equipment can be used within their limitation of use. So still, you know, what I'm saying is that if a chair lift can be used for this application, yes, in terms of the for the accessibility code and the vertical accessibility, yeah.
But only certain ones could be used. That say, if for a stair lift, if the occupant would have to be able to use the lift themselves, and also you would have to look at egress issues possibly as well with the a stair lift.
You already have a shaft, an elevator shaft. I'm not sure if that could be adaptable to use a Lula, for example. A Lula is a least cost approach, which you can. You already have a shaft that could be, you know, a Lula could be adapted to.
What is that? A what?
Can you hear me?
Can you spell it for him?
What is that?
A limited use is a Lula, is a limited use elevator. The Florida Accessibility Code has a reference to it, and I'll be glad to give you more information if you want to give me a call. 850-717-1825.
What was that? I'm sorry.
850-717-1825.
Okay.
And yeah, give me a call, and I'll be glad to guide you to where the information is and all that.
All right. Next up, we have Redfish Grill by Chef Adrian, waiver 420. Do we have anybody on the line from Redfish Grill?
Yes, sir. Rich Barbara, General Counsel.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the rooftop observation deck. The project type is historical preservation alteration. The project progress is under construction. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the rooftop observation deck of a historic restaurant located in Matheson Hammock Park, which is owned by the City of Coral Gables with 2,443 square feet. Identical services may be provided at the ground level for all patrons of the establishment. The project cost is $350,000 for the alteration. The applicant stated the basis for the application for accessibility waiver is devastating impact to the historical aspect of the building. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of historical significance. Rich, would you like to add any comments to that?
No, sir. That pretty much covers it.
All right. Council, any questions?
This is Joe Novecchio. I'm going to move along and make a motion that we grant the waiver on grounds of historical significance.
All right.
Paul Vickley, a second.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right. The motion passes for Redfish Grill.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your consideration.
Thank you. All right. Next up is Matthew Roche, waiver 415. Do we have anybody on the line? All right. The issue is vertical accessibility to second floor units. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress is in plan review. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $352,980. The project construction cost and construction over the past 3 years is $637,852, with an economic hardship threshold at 55%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to second floor units. The project consists of a change of use from an existing 8-unit apartment building into hotel suites. The total construction cost for the project has been calculated to be $637,852. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates for compliance for vertical access to the second floor of the two-story structure, which have total amounts of $382,739 and $325,980 for the installation of an elevator with associated installation costs. The lowest accessibility compliance estimate plus the amount spent on accessible features is $352,980, which is 64% of the total project construction cost. According to the applicant, they plan to construct a fully accessible unit on the ground floor to accommodate any customer with accessible needs. According to the applicant's registered design professional, proposing a new elevator would require the compromise of the existing structure, and that existing structure would not be able to support the elevator due to the structural requirements for the new installation. The applicant alleges the hardship is caused by substantial economic hardship and a set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owner in general. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic and technical infeasibility. Is anybody on the line for a waiver 415? All right. Council?
This is Darlene. I'm making a motion to accept the vertical accessibility on the basis of economic hardship and technical feasibility.
All right. Do we have
that to you?
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Waiver 415 passes.
That's it.
All righty. We're going to do roll call real quick before we break away. Joe DelVecchio.
I'm here, Joe.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Beth Meyer. Jim Woolihan.
Here.
Paul Bixney.
Here.
Louise Darlene Level Crow.
I'm here.
All right. Allison Klein.
Here.
All right. And Paul Martell. All righty. Well, thank you so much, and y'all have a wonderful weekend and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Stand adjourned.
Thank you, guys.